Session number 8277.
Mr. Calloway, Reel 2. What happened between the first and second battles of Kerma
Well,
to your unit?
we returned to Basra, and after I suppose probably 6 weeks or 2 months, the battle was reopened.
Where did you stay when you were in Basra?
Outside Basra, just anywhere. There
In
was no,
tents?
no, no. We had tents. Yes, that's right. 160-pound tents, and of course it was winter time then, and we were very cold.
What sort of kit were you in?
Ordinary drill. We had no surge kit with us at all, and
So
it
this
get
was
a
just.
very cold winter.
Did you have the shorts or.
No, breeches, riding breeches, yes, and underwear, of course, underpants, cotton, but we had no serge. It was all drill. And we had these British warms. Originally, we went off with overcoats, but they were so unmanageable. You imagine an overcoat which has been rolled on your saddle, you get it all open to what's there. Well, you can't roll it up again like that. It's all right for a smart parade, but honestly. So these British warm jackets were issued, which of course was a big help.
Were they a heavier cut?
Shorter cut, you see.
And heavy khaki.
Worsted stuff, you know, khaki worsted, which was very good. But our only ordinary overcoats, we're doing, my God, that's heavy, isn't it? Yes. And, well, generally speaking, the food rations was just the same. Nothing to write home about except that we used to get jam. The flies took most of it.
Were there much of a problem with flies?
Oh yes, hell, absolutely. Flies and lice, dreadful.
Even at this stage, they'd become a
Not
problem.
in the much so much in the winter months, but in generally. Oh gosh, yes.
We'll get
You
onto
see,
that then
yes.
if you want.
You see, we. This is the early part of the campaign. We were able to swim in the river to keep clean, but there were times when we were out away in the desert for months. You see, there was no hope of having a real good bath. There were no facilities for baths or anything like that ever. We always had to depend on a dip in the river. And as for laundry or anything like that, there was nothing. No, absolutely no facilities at all, not even with us. So you just had to bash out a shirt in the river and dry it.
Did you ever visit the town? Were you allowed to visit Basra or not?
Well, yes, the first town we went really and visited was Kut, when we took Kut going up.
I see. But you didn't visit Basra to just wander through the streets?
No, one of parties could go out, but one or two people went out and got drunk, and that finished it. There was no more. So, and it wasn't a very what do you call it, much sought after. Nobody wanted to go out and muck around in the Arab, but there was nothing.
Was there much contact with the Arabs?
Not very much, no.
Did you have an opinion about
I
them at this
mean,
stage?
you wouldn't say go out and we'll have a cup of tea here or something of that sort. There was nothing like that ever existed. These people just were used to sitting on their hunkers drinking their own tea. There were no cafes or anything like that. That sort of living had never been experienced by them.
What was your first impression of the Arabs? Did you like them?
No, we were put on our guard to beware, of course, because they had no special, what do you call it, with us at all. In fact, I don't think they, although they pretended that they still supported the Turks, and they didn't support either side, really. From that point of view, they very much kept to themselves. But they always came in if there was anything doing. Any carving up to be done, they were there.
Did you have much problem with thieving or
No, we were never anywhere near the Arab population to for it to happen. We were always on our own
So there was a period
away.
of approximately a month, and then the second you moved
Yeah,
back up to
to
Kerna.
Kerna again, and that was when there was the proper battle was taking place, and that's when I got stymied in the palm wood.
Could you describe exactly what
Yes.
happened to you?
I had three horses, you see, and these palm groves had very big deep water channels to keep the palms watered, you see. And crossing these things was quite a problem. I got over with two horses and one was left behind, you see. And there was I mucking about trying, the captain had gone on to see what was happening. And of course he couldn't bring the guns through anywhere. Anyway, they'd gone round outside the palm grove and I was there for, oh, I suppose an hour or more. I'd gone on as far as I could. I came to a little, sort of what looked like an officer's little pitch with a little tent and various other things there, and a mound with a hut on top, which used to be used by the palm operators who were there to shoo away any, what do you call it, hawks or whatever, from the palms, you know, when the dates were out. And so I stayed there, and I was there for seemingly hours, and I thought, well, I must be absolutely lost, because the battery and everybody had gone through. Then I saw some Japs coming up, running like mad, and I thought, good God, where are we now? And there were some oddments that had got dropped from their units. And eventually, while I was there, the hell of a lot of ammunition blew up, small arms stuff, with this tent and that and the fire, I thought. the horses behaved all right.
Well, just the fire you discovered?
Yes.
So it was quite close to you then?
Oh, yes. I was on this little mound, you see, where I could see around a bit. But I really thought I'd been ditched altogether. But eventually there was somebody said, oh, there you are, sort of thing. It was the captain. He said, we wonder where the hell you've got to. Well, I said, I couldn't get any further. He said, no, you were very wise to stay there. So then we went round and tied up with the battery.
During this period, I presume you could hear the battle going on?
Oh, yes, yes, and the shots were coming through the rifle fire, you know, in the trees. But
did you know where the Turks were?
No, they'd been driven through the palms, you see. But then the captain came back and got his horse from me and we went out and met the battery. They were out in the open desert behind the palms afterwards. And then we just, I suppose we took about 10 or 16 guns there from the Turks. It was funny. They say only so many, but I'm sure I saw quite a number on the ship being taken back to Basra.
What did they look like? Did you have a chance to inspect them and compare?
Oh, yes, they were, they were just barely breech loading in those days. Very old guns, 15-pounder. And nothing. They must have thought we had some marvellous guns with the Mark 1 18-pounder, which was, of course, super with its buffer and everything. Theirs had no buffers or anything. It was just a plain, like you often see somewhere in some of these, without a breech block. Just a tube, you know what I mean, with a firing hole. But they hadn't very modern equipment, really.
Did you get a chance to look at the battlefield following the battle? Did you know what was happening during
the
battle?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. And I don't think we had so very many casualties there. Not too bad, anyway.
So you knew what was happening?
Oh, yes, the whole time. The battle was on, yes.
Had you been told everyone what the plan was, or could you just see what the plan was?
Well, yes. I could just see what was going on. But then we withdrew again, of course, and so it meant a further scrap afterwards before we moved right on. Actually, what happened then, we were backloaded to Basra and we went out to
Shaiba,
yes. And although we weren't actually in the Battle of Shaiba, we were then backloaded to, where is it? Not Kurna.
Mumara?
No. To,
We'll come to that anyway.
The country, anyway, yeah. Yes.
When you from Kerner, did you actually get to see the battlefield? And
oh, yes, yes, yes. There wasn't much to see, actually.
Well, did you by now had your first experience of any dead bodies?
Oh, yes, there were people lying about, of course.
And yes. How did you react to that, the reality
well,
of
I
it?
Well, I mean, it was one of those things. It was just nothing to... it was to be expected.
It didn't upset you at all?
No.
As a 16-year-old,
17-year-old? No. I don't think I worried much so long as I was going to get my food.
So yes. You went back to Basra again, following...
That's right, yes.
And then you went up to Shaiba, but you missed the battle.
The main battle at Shaiba, yes.
Could you see the Battle of Shaiba?
No, we were sent to Hawaz. That's right up the other side of... about a couple hundred miles away from Basra.
Oh, right this is on the right?
Yes, right on the Persian side.
I see.
Hawaz is in the Persian hills.
And who were you? Why were you sent up there?
That's where the oil field was. And we sent a section up first. They got into trouble and lost a gun.
You weren't with them then?
No, not at that time. And so then the whole battery went up.
And then you went with them?
We went with them, and we were there for about 6 months, I think.
Well, could you describe... Do you have any recollections? Because it must have been quite a long march up to
Well, we went by steamer up the river to Amara. And that's the, I suppose, the longest run the troops ever had on a ship. all because there was nothing to oppose us on the way. But once we got there, then a force came down onto Amara. Hawaz, I should say.
Hawaz, yes.
Because we went from Hawaz to Amara afterwards.
Yes, I've got you. Yeah. But at Hawaz, you went to Hawaz by
yes,
steamer.
Yes, and we
then unloaded there.
We unloaded there, and we put up a very strong camp. Barbed wire galore and what have you. We had several brushes, but nothing definite turned out. And eventually...
Can you remember any of these brushes?
Well, only very slight. Nighttime usually happened, but we were all quiet behind our barbed wire, so nobody bothered because nobody got in. And
so there'd just be some firing out.
That's right. That was sniping every night, always. That always happened. And the Arabs used to do that. Local Arabs did all that. And you could see these prop lights going with these zzzz, you know, ordinary big, thick lead bullets. Martini Henry rifles, I suppose they were, guns.
They didn't worry you very much, though?
No, they were just something that kept ticking over every night. But they never made an attempt to. They just harassed us, that's all.
And can you describe the layout of the camp at all? You had barbed wire around the
outside. Oh, yes, so it was a defensible camp. Trenches properly dug and everything, and guns dug in. But they never made an open attack. All sorts of... we used to have to send out, and I went out once or twice, during the day to the further hills to observe their camp.
With the camp?
Yes. It was to keep watch on what they were doing, you see. And I went out twice on that. My captain went once because he wanted to discover what was the best places for artillery, if we should go. But eventually, the move from Kurna up to Mahamra, I think it was the next place, had occurred. So then we came across right up by the marshes and into Amara that way.
So
6 weeks on the marshes we were.
How long had you been at Askra, the first, where you had the fortified camp?
We were there about 3 or 4 months. That's longer.
No trouble getting your supplies up and everything?
No, they came up by steamer every so often.
Were you aware of why you were there protecting the oil fields? Did you know at the time?
Yes, that was our business, and because the Turks had their strong point there, you see.
But you didn't launch an attack on
it? No. When the first section went up, they actually had a battle and lost a gun. And were very lucky to get away with it, actually. But It was then when we shot up within 24 hours, and then they developed the camp, you see.
Well, why were you able to leave it then in the end? Did the Turkish pack up their camp?
Well, that's what I say. They withdrew when our people were moving up the main Tigris.
Could you describe the six-week march, it sounds?
Oh, well, you do about 15 miles a day, no more. And every time it would depend on water, but we had to depend on the marshes. It was marsh water all the way. And that was the worst we had. And I know when we were within reach of Amara by a day and a half, the Japs sent some balams, or canoes you'd call them, of fresh water down to us, so that we were we opened the pub, as it were, with fresh water after being 6 weeks on a marsh. Marsh water is terrible.
Were you very thirsty then?
Well, yes, and the marsh water was a foul, it had a smell with it, you know, terrible. But it had to be filtered and all that carry on, but it made no difference to the taste of it. Terrible.
Did you have overnight camps during this march, or did you just
Just put out pickets and flop where you were. There were no tents at all.
Were you on the horses of your battery? Or
yes, all mounted still, yes.
Throughout
and the infantry had to walk, of course.
Throughout this stage, were you still acting mainly as a bugler?
Yes. Captain's trumpeter and signaller. So then we got to Amara.
What were your signaller's duties?
What do you mean, my own duty as a signaller? It was just simply to take messages from the guns, signal to the lieutenant or captain, whoever might be at the wagon line. But I very seldom had to do any signalling, or my trumpet and bugle was useless, except to sound burials.
Last post,
yes.
So what was the next?
From Amara, we moved on. The next show was Kut. That was a real staged battle, proper. And I suppose we were forward for about a month, and then the attack took place. And, of course, it meant the poor old infantry walking all night and into action at dawn. Not fun.
What did you see of the Battle of Kut? Can you describe it as you saw it?
Quite a lot. We opened up pretty well on that. And the infantry cleared them from the first line of trenches. And then once they moved, we moved up our guns and shortened the distance between us. But once they got going, they never stopped. And it was we were out in the desert, you see, on the marshes. The river party, the main attack was from the river. But overnight, we'd gone round to the marshes and come up behind, you see, with some more infantry and what have you.
A night march?
Yeah, yes. This was always the trouble there for the poor old infantry. Just imagine having to walk with all that stuff on you. God knows, about 250 rounds of ammunition with those double pouches, you know, in those days. And God knows how much kit. March 15 miles, you see, because it's all desert and you couldn't stage a fight on the way up, as it were. It had to be done overnight. And then it had to be done quite secretly. Sometimes we would feign it and then withdraw. And then they'd leave them looking and say, well, where the hell have they gone, sort of thing. It was an old tactics. But normally, when we were really going to take in, that set at Kut, first real divisional battle, the infantry, as I say, at 6 o'clock at dusk, we all crossed the river. We were on the left bank, or right bank, going up. And we crossed over to left bank in order to attack. That was usually the bluff. During the day on the right bank, we were taking registration shots with our guns on the Turks, and they would think, oh, well, it's coming here tomorrow. But it was there and crossed them to deceive them, you see, because their own fortifications would be on the other bank. Anyway, that's, as I say, the big thing for the infantry was that, and then having to straight into action at dawn. It wasn't funny.
And so your battery just moved along?
Quietly behind, yes, and we opened up as soon as the attack was there. Signalling, of course, was difficulty there. We'd only just got field telephones in those days for the first time. So...
Did you use them at all?
Oh, yes, the signallers had to use them. But
what were they like?
A box affair, not very important. Sorry, Bobby. It was a box affair, and portable, carried on a strap. It had, I suppose, like a battery today, an ordinary battery with phone connections. And, of course, the signallers were important people, very important. And many a time our signallers had to be called for if the infantry signallers had got missed, being killed or what have you. Several times our chap was called forward with the infantry. So, and he was a little fellow, Nubby Clark, I remember him. Yes. Very efficient chap.
So you were during the Battle of Kut,
yes.
You were basically doing your normal duties of
yes.
holding the horses.
Yes, and that's and keeping signal contact in order to move up with the wagons if necessary.
When the battery went into action like this,
yeah.
Could you tell me what exactly it took with it? What wagons?
Well,
what
yes.
wagons were for?
Well, the gun and limber. And they would be broken up and set side by side.
Can you explain what a limber is?
Well, limber is the a short carriage with ammunition in it that tows the gun. And then the wagons that follow are a repeat of the limber, only double, and carry the double the amount of ammunition. So there's two lines of those to each gun, first and second line of wagons.
How many horses would pull each?
Six in each. Six in the gun, six in each wagon load. And so they would go up, unhook, the gunners would switch them round, the gun turn the limber round so they could open them for the ammunition. And the first line of wagons would be at a distance and go up as soon as the limber was empty.
Did you ever? Had you ever by this time done any actual gun work?
No, not then.
The Battle of Kut being over, could you see it as it progressed? Could you describe what happened?
Yes, well, the Turks cleared off, of course, by evening, and I can always remember that the sun was at a certain pitch, and you could see quite as clear as a bell where we were. And... they moved off, the infantry and everybody had gone after them, and we had to hold fire until we got our orders to move up. Then we moved up and I suppose we stopped about a mile outside Kut. The troops were already in, clearing up, you see, and consolidating a front line after behind the Turks.
Did you actually go into Kut yourself?
Yes, we did that day.
And what was your first impression of Kut?
Well, it was like a huge bazaar. We always remember that. That's what we were concerned with, was seeing what we could get in the bazaar to eat. But we'd hardly been in there or around about an hour when the alarm went and we were all out and away. We left Kut altogether and moved on.
Had you thought it was a... What sort of town did it seem like to you? Was
well,
it
just
a nice
an Arab
town?
No, there's no... I mean, you can't explain these or give anybody an impression of it, really.
Is it very sanitary or insanitary?
No,
or...
no roads or anything like that in them, if you can understand that.
Was it clean, though, a clean town, or was it...
You could say the people are clean, but, I mean, by our standards, it wouldn't be. But they were just mud buildings. No brick, much at all, very little brick.
Were there any mosques and that?
Oh, yes, mosques and those sort of things would be brick, you see. But the housing and all that was most... not very... hardly more than one story in any of it. And mostly, as I say, brick or clay.
So you were rushed out for this alarm?
Yes, and so we had to dash off and carry on. We moved up during the night to harass the... I imagine, I don't know, that the Turks were probably intending to stop and dig in. The idea was to stop them from digging in and make them get on to Amara.
Yes.
Which they did.
So the idea was to catch them before the,
before they could
dig their trench.
Yes, and move them on so that they were not ready to attack in any way.
At this stage in the campaign, did you feel that it was the 6th Division, did you feel that the division was fighting a successful campaign? Or did you feel that you were overstretching a little?
No, we were so split up all over the place that we hardly operated together, if you understand me. That was the first time, I think, after Shaiba, that was the first time we operated as a division.
Did you have much of a sense of being a loyalty to the division, or were you did your main loyalty lie with the battery, or did you see yourself as part of the 6th Division?
Oh, well, we were part of the 6th Division, yes, and loyalty to one's battery, of course.
Yes. Did you know of Townsend?
Yes, but we hadn't seen him until... When did I first see him? He made an effort to go around once during the siege.
Come to that. During the pursuit following the capture of Kut, did you outstrip the lines of communication and thus your supplies at all?
The Turks had no supplies to shift. It's amazing.
No, I mean, did we start to lose touch with our own supplies?
Oh, well, our supply line was kept going by the river boats. Sorry,